This episode is sponsored by United Refrigeration and Westermeyer Industries, revolutionizing your HVACR experience. Visit URI.com for all your HVACR needs, offering real-time inventory, personalized pricing, and a nearby stock feature. Access quick pick replacement parts and branch details effortlessly. With 350-plus fully stocked locations across North America, our knowledgeable staff are ready to assist with the solutions you need. Exclusive offer. Use code ARPOD on URI.com to get a $10 gift card when purchasing the Westermeyer Oil Float, part number W4300-38F. These high-performance floats are not just compatible with their own oil separators, but also available as a crossover model. Conveniently stocked at United Refrigeration. That's code ARPOD to claim your $10 gift card. Visit URI.com now.
The Sporland Division of Parker Hannifin Corporation is sporting this podcast. Sporland is the leading manufacturer of HVAC and R components. Using quality materials and craftsmanship, Sporland maintains a commitment to innovation, manufacturing excellence, service, and support for its customers since 1934. The company is known for its catch-all filter dryers, thermostatic expansion valves, solenoid valves, pressure regulating valves, suction filters, electric valves, controllers, supermarket monitoring solutions, chemicals, smart service tools, ZoomLock Max Press to Connect, and ZoomLock Push to Connect refrigerant fittings. If folks want to learn more, what do they do?
You can go to Sporland.com.
I guess that's Jim and John for Sporland signing off.
You know who he actually looks like? Larry the Enticer.
No, I edited it out.
Yeah, maybe later. I hate you. No. No, he looks like Squires.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he does. Larry the Enticer.
If he was 20 years younger and had a mullet.
No, something happened where I found a picture and I was sent it to Squires. I was like, is this a younger you? This is before I actually knew who Larry the Enticer was. But there's this one cat named Lance that was in a 6A class of mine. He was just in the CO2 class that I taught. And like this time he didn't say it at all. But like that whole 6A class, he's like, just send it. Mid said no send. It's a whole freaking class. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Advanced Refrigeration Podcast. You're with your host, Brett Wetzel and Kevin Compass. You look angry today. What's going on?
Doing quotes and then getting quotes rejected and getting quotes approved and I do not like this part of this job.
You went somewhere last week. Where'd you go?
I was at a CO2 summit for Costco. It's pretty cool. Got to be around a bunch of contractors, around a bunch of OEMs and stuff, and discussed like a lot of issues we were seeing and how they want to go about changing it. So it sounds pretty cool. It's cool when a customer actually brings you out and then they choose a bunch of techs and not just a bunch of suits to go out there and to actually let them know what's going on and how they could improve it and make it better for everybody to work on and how they could make it so they aren't wasting a bunch of money on technology that they don't need to. Yeah. So it was a pretty cool experience. Get to hang out with a bunch of guys that I only get to see every so often. So good time.
You said you got to try some of that Canadian liquor that I had.
I tried some of that maple syrup stuff. It's
like drinking maple syrup cough syrup, right?
Yeah.
I just want to get your take on it. Yeah, it was delicious, wasn't it?
Yeah. So sugary. It's like an elf. But
except for Elf getting drunk.
Yeah. No, it wasn't that bad. I don't know. Then I'm back in the grind of doing quotes and
that sounds fun.
No, I absolutely hate staring at a computer screen. But we've been doing like today I changed a bunch of changed compressors, so I'm upsizing compressors on a rack, so that's been a treat. No, so we're blowing up discharge lines and setting boat anchor Carlisles. So we're doing a bunch of upsizes on compressors. This is why this part of the reason this podcast came about. So we've been having a lot of trouble and a lot of disagreements on breaker sizing and other stuff. And I've also been doing a lot of quotes where we've been providing some VFD sizing. So some stuff we've learned along the way and some stuff that we've gotten from people. So I'd like to share and go with it, and some tips and tricks of the trade here. And then also some softwares that we could share to make this easier. So
you weren't just arguing because you were just angry, right? This was just
mediumly angry.
Medium. Okay.
It's just arguing back and forth. Cause you talk to one person, they say to say it size it this way. You talk to another person, they tell you to size it this way. So it's like, yeah,
I'm surprised. Have you found anything on the websites where they're like, this is our rule of thumb, or they're just trying to figure out like where it is?
So a lot of these manufacturers like Copeland and Bitzer, Carlisle, they don't really want to spec a breaker. Like, they don't want to tell you, like, this needs a 70 amp breaker, because, like, they're opening themselves up for litigation, then, I guess. They're liable.
Yeah. Plus, I was just talking with someone about this before we got on here, and like, he was giving me some scenarios, which we'll bring up. But like, I guess it really depends on the amperage, but also depends on the duty. So, you want to start? What do you want to get into?
Since you got the numbers, we'll bounce back and forth. Okay, so what exactly we're talking about first? So like breaker sizing. So we're doing a lot of like compressor upsizes. Like we've been doing a ton of them. So we're upsizing compressors on racks. So we're taking 10 horse off and saying slapping a 15 on there.
Okay. Are they at least changing the condenser later, or no? Are they just
the condensers are falling apart? So that's why we're doing the upsizes. So we're doing the condensers, and then we're going back and doing the compressors when we do the remodels.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. So we're upsizing the condensers. So we're going through these, and say we're going from a 10 horse to a 15 horse. Okay. So we're upsizing a 5 horse. Okay. It's not a whole lot, especially with Carlisle. It gets really difficult. So Copeland's a lot easier to size and stuff, because Copeland, at least you could use the Copeland mobile app and find your run load amps. Mm-hmm. And find your MCC amps. MCC. Now, really?
Sorry.
So, but with Carlisle, it becomes a little different, because obviously Carlisle no longer puts run load amps on compressors, and you should never go off run load amps on a tag ever, especially on a compressor.
Why?
Because it could cover a range of data. So that compressor could be rated from down to 0 degrees down to up to plus 40. So how do you throw a run load amps on there? You can't. So it's just like a generalized run load amps. So what you need to do is you need to look it up. Unfortunately, the Carlisle books were written when I was in diapers. Most of them are antiquated, and they don't have all the information in there. It's all online now. So Carlisle has a software called Carwin.
I was as surprised as anyone else listening, because I did not know this existed, even though
It's actually pretty nice. So they have a software called Carwin. Mm-hmm. Now, this is like Emerson's like product selection software. You could put in your conditions. You could put in your discharge pressure. You could put in your suction pressure. You could put in your return gas temps, and it'll spit out exactly what that compressor should be running for discharge temp. It'll spit out what it should be pulling for amp draw for your run load amps.
The Copeland amp does it too.
Like Copeland amp does that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the Copeland app does it. It's in an app.
Does the Bitzer one do that?
I don't even know if the Bitzer product selection software does.
Oh, okay.
But that one's web-based too. So you have all three of these where you could put your conditions in here and get your run load amps. Now, when I'm sizing a breaker, I will generally look at the worst case scenario conditions. Like I'll look at my max condensing temperature, and then I will look at the highest my SST could get. So if it's a plus 20 rack, I'll probably go plus 25 or plus 28, whatever it is. And then I will see what my run load amps is. And then I will get my data from there. Now, Brett, Matt gave you the numbers for that.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Go ahead and go over it.
Because I'm not nearly as smart as at Matt as well. Like I called him because I just wanted to run this by him. And because if anyone ever has a drive issue, if anyone's lucky enough to have the bat phone number for Matt, just your lucky cat, because that guy knows more about VFDs than I will ever know, and probably has forgotten more. So I was running this stuff by him because I just want to get his opinion on things, because we were hearing like all kinds of weird numbers, like MOC times blah, 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 something. And it wasn't making any sense. So I called him just to get some numbers. And so what Matt was telling me, normally you would times it, like if you're doing condenser fan motors, you take, everyone wants to go off of horsepower. And he said, that's not the right way to do it. Basically, what you should do is take the running load amps or full load amps and add all those together. So let's just say you come up with 20 amps, one amp for each condenser fan motor. You have 20 of them, so it gives you 20 amps. You times it by the 1.15 with that, because there's not really a big load, right? Like condenser fan motor doesn't really have enough starting torque to really cause a lot of inrush. So you're straight with that. But what he did say is then take that amperage and then basically size it then off of the drive that has that amount of amperage. So let me show you examples. Let me add this.
Let's start with breakers. Breakers first.
Drives. Okay. Breakers. Okay. So when sizing a breaker for any kind of load with the running load amps, he said it was two amps. If it's just a full on start across the line, if you're doing I'm just going to bring this up. If you're doing a VFD, you can size it for a little bit less, but we'll get into that numbers later. But basically, whenever you're sizing a breaker, you want to size it for two times two of whatever the amperage is. There's some stipulations with that, and I don't fully understand this. And he's trying to give me the run with it, but there, every single breaker, let me add this to the stage, every single breaker basically has a curve. So whereabouts the time bandwidth of where it's going to, like upon a shortage, you have a B curve, which trips between 3 to 5 times of the short circuit situation. B, 6 to 10 times the rated current shorted amperage. So that this is what he was giving me. So if you have a 30 amp FLA, you times that by 2. And so basically you put in a 60 amp breaker. But like you said, there are curves in there that are taken into effect for what type of breaker. I think he said the most common ones, I think, are B and C. What are you putting in there?
I have no idea what the electricians order. I usually give them the numbers and then have them order whatever's in there. So what I usually do when I'm doing these is I'll figure out my amp draw, and then I will try to match whatever breakers inside the rack. So mm-hmm. if it's got a certain version of Eaton breakers, I try to grab that breaker. So that way they're all the same. I don't want one random. And then the other problem is like making sure it fits. So generally, if you try to get the same breaker, you have a better chance of it fitting.
Gotcha.
Now, I was told it was 1.5 times run load amps.
For the breaker sizing.
For the breaker sizing. And I've also heard 1.56.
See, I was told that if it's 1.5, if it's just a VFD on by itself. But if you have a VFD and bypass, that it has the capability to actually go into bypass, because you have that full on start. You don't really have the inertia of that soft start from the VFD. That's when Matt said he's like, do it by two.
By two. Yeah. I wonder what it is when it's just across the line. Is it still two?
I guess it would be, because that's what a bypass is, right? Bypass is just a cross line start, right?
Yeah. So yeah, it's, that's why, like looking at some of these, like so if you look at some of the compressor or the rack manufacturers, like they're like, I was trying to figure it out today. I had compressors with a run load amps of ended up being like, I don't know, 55 amps. Then I have a 92 amp breaker.
Kind of makes sense.
So that would be like almost like 1.5-ish, 1.56. I don't know where they found a 92 amp breaker.
Wait, 92?
Yeah.
That's fine.
It was like 54 amps was the run load, spec run load, and it had a 92 amp breaker.
I'm sorry, start with a 50 what? 50 what?
54 was amps. Mm-hmm. And then a 92 amp breaker.
It's fairly close to two, though. You know what I mean?
It's right. It's like in between.
2 amps would be 108. That's damn close. Like I said, everyone's rule of thumb is just a little bit different, but just on the fact what Matt said, so if we do 54 times 1.8, no, 1.7. So someone sized it for just a little bit under two. But yeah, I mean,
so like I went When I did mine, I went 1.56, I mean, which we were still, I'm not really sure why we changed the compressor, to be honest to you, because it was like we went from the one we did today went from a 10 to a 12 horse, which seemed pretty pointless to me, but I'm not an engineer. What? It was pointless.
Yeah, no.
It literally went up, the current went up like 5 amps. So, and we didn't change anything today. I didn't change a breaker today. I didn't change a wire. It was still within range. If I did that 1.56, it was within range. Now, but the one we're doing tomorrow, it's getting jumped up to 110 amp breaker.
Damn.
Because we did it, it's going to a 20 horse from a 10 horse. So its run load amps was like, I think it was like 65 amps. So there was, it was about, it was just under below two. Okay. So probably 1 point, I think I used like 1.56 or 1.57 or 1.7 to size that. But that makes sense. That's about right for a compressor breaker then.
Yeah, because you got to make it would be closer if it would be something like a condenser fan motor where there's not a bunch of starting torque. You know what I mean? With that compressor, you have to get up past that inertia point to get it so it gets us, and this will get up to full run. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you're going to have that end rush current. You want to bring up that Carwin software so we could show these guys?
Sure. The one that I didn't know existed.
Or you want me to screen share and do it?
Whatever you want. Just tell me what you want me to do.
I'll present and do it.
Okay.
If I can find my mouse.
How do you have the most computer problems ever?
I don't know.
You're like, you can fix just about any energy management system, unless it's Danfoss. And then, but you can't find a mouse. So what is this?
It's white. It's
like, it says Copeland.
That one says Copeland.
Okay.
This one says Carlisle. So if you go to Carlisle's website, you just got to throw your email in.
You're
sharing still Copeland?
It does. You're going to share either entire window or you have to. Oh my God.
I don't know what I'm doing.
I'm quoting Big Lebowski. You're like a child that wanders in the middle of a movie, wants to know what's going on.
How do you share the entire? Hold on. What's going on here?
Okay, so I'm going to remove that one. And then what you're going to do is hit present. I think I'm just going to leave this in here. You're going to hit present and then do share screen. And then you can, on the top, it'll either Chrome tab, window, or entire screen.
Sharing easy as a two monitor share screen.
Yep.
Entire screen.
There you go. There you go. Man, you're a pro.
Shut up. I hate you so much right now. So this is Carwin software, or the Carwin software. Now, you get on Carlisle's website and then go under resources and go to software. And then you just got to pop your email address in there and register. Now, so when you first come to this thing, it'll bring you to this page. Now, what you have is you have all your compressor models. Okay. You get your pocket guides. You got your all your general information up here. So if we go to an 06E, for example, you click on 06E, it's going to bring up this screen. Now, you get your compressors here, so you can switch them whatever you want. You get your refrigerant here, so if we go to 448, it's going to load for a minute. Then you have your compressor models. Now, we were having some problems, so if you get a Carlisle rebuild, it's not going to be exactly in here. So these are only new compressors. So you got to match up, so it'll be like a 06D, R something, lots of X's. Then you'll find like a 541 or the 718, like those numbers for the capacity match up. Mm-hmm. But you're not going to have like the 12 digit or whatever like model code in there. So if you go to like this one, this 06EA575, click on there. Okay, it's going to bring this compressor up. Now you're going to tell it if it's 463 phase, if it's 208, so or if it's 50 hertz, click on there. Now, this is where you could change things. So you got your D here. So if we bump this up to 20, and then you have your saturated condensing temp. So if we change that to, I don't know, 1, maybe like Brett in Texas. You go to output summary.
Unbelievable. All these Texas comments. I'm not from here, right?
Yeah.
You said Philadelphia would be a different story.
Texas is looking pretty good right now.
Sounds that way.
So after this goes through and loads, it'll download a complete report of this compressor. So right here, it pulls this software, and you can go to performance summary. So it'll have all the compressor information in here, all your stuff, your SST, your SCT, everything will be in here. Now, at the bottom, it'll give you your capacity, BTUs an hour, power, KW, your EER, your current of what it's going to be at that, what your discharge temp should be. So this is a huge troubleshooting tool. So you can figure out if you have a discharge temp issue. If it's 50 degrees higher than that, than what it should be getting, you got a problem. And then it also gives you your TR. So that's your compressor complete BTUs with your total heat rejection. So mm-hmm. That's for like sizing compressors and stuff, the condensers and stuff. Gives you all this information in here. Now, if you go to technical data, shows it where it is on the operating envelope.
Mm-hmm.
And then outline drawing, like we use this all the time. This gives you your spacing. So like your spacing between the footholes. So if you're measuring stuff out, like we had to drill new holes, which is an absolute pain in the ass. This is super, super useful. Now, what this does do, if you go to this tubular data, this brings you into the COP chart.
Yeah.
So this is where you're going to see. So you get your suction saturation temp. 40, 45, 50, 55. This is an air conditioning compressor. And then you have your SCT on the side. So say we're at 120 and 50. So our highest amps are going to be 47.9 amps. So that's our highest run load amps.
Okay.
So right here. So we would size our breaker off our highest run load amps that we're going to experience.
47.9. I'm just doing something. So I found something really cool then when you want to give me back control, but go ahead and continue.
Yeah. So, and then if you exit out of here and then bring back up.
Me?
I shouldn't have exited out all that. Whoops.
All right.
Yeah, bring yours back up.
All right. You're an ass. All right. So I found this cool little thing that has a whole bunch of mathy math stuff in there. So you can choose current or load for air conditioning, resistive and lighting loads, welders, blah, 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 blah. So, but it auto-populated this service factor, which I thought was convenient because it actually makes our numbers jive up. It is closer to, I guess the real number would be like 1.75 or whatever, but it actually makes sense now as far as the breaker sizing. So there's circuit breaker, current, parentheses, circuit breaker equals 1 amp, blah, 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 all this other stuff. And so that's essentially how it figured it out, taking the service factor into account. But look, man, so 40, if you did that compressor that just came up, the 47.9, and then you hit calculate, then it gave you a breaker size of 83.825. So it seems like if you're actually doing like smart math and not just rule of thumb, it's like essentially 75% of the actual load added on top of the full load amp.
Yeah. So with that, like it comes out to what size breaker?
83.825.
So me personally, I would probably choose an 80.
Nah, well, I wouldn't do that. I'd go
a 90. It's already got the safety in there a little bit. 3 amps, split among friends, is not that.
It's already got the juice factor in there.
A 90 amp breaker is bigger than an 80.
Usually, all this stuff should be done by the engineer, but you know,
it's never done. But then they never do it because it's usually a mechanical engineer doing it.
All right, so I found this website, Luminex/breaker-size-calculator. And so this was actually like I did the numbers at first and I was like, whoa, why is it so low? And basically it was because at first when I did it was a resistive load, but essentially gives you some of the stuff what you should be doing, the air conditioning, the motors and stuff like that. If you're doing a motor that doesn't have a whole bunch of high torque, but like Matt was telling me, like he's like, yeah, if you're doing like a rock crusher,
I'm like a rock crusher.
I swear to God, he's like, yeah, you deal a rock crusher, you need like 2 times that for the VFD. I'm like, shit. He's like, it's a constant load, even when it starts.
So let's go over now that we went over the compressor breaker sizing, let's go over the VFDs.
So here we have, should we just go off, continue with what we're doing, right? We already sized the compressor. We sized the breaker, and essentially we sized it for if it was doing a bypass, right? If it was doing a bypass and a VFD. So now,
but like, I would always size it for that if it was a compressor, no matter what, because if it, more than likely, if it's a compressor, we're coming back in, we're doing a retrofit.
Yeah, probably. So what breaker would we use? What VFD would we use based on that? So if we,
if you go up to that number sheet, so if you go up to the VFD cross reference or the areas, so if it's a, that was a four cylinder. Mm-hmm. So
times it by 1.6.
Yep.
So the full load amps, right? So
yep, full load amps times 1.6.
It's gonna be around about what the hell it, what I just figured out then, because that's what that was. All right, so 47.9 times 1.6 equals 76.64.
So if you come over here to the Danfoss catalog.
Mm-hmm.
And you choose your 460 amp drive for.
Oh, 460 drive.
Today's episode is sponsored by the RefRush Shield RDP Series Differential Pressure Monitors from Westermeyer Industries, now available for transcritical CO2 systems in addition to other common pressures and refrigerants. When the filter element of your coalescing oil separator is contaminated, it can hurt your system's performance and efficiency. But how do you know when it's time to replace that filter? Wait too long to replace, and you could end up with a nasty filter blowout. But replacing too often can be a waste of time and money. The answer is installing a differential pressure monitor. The RDP series differential pressure monitors, including the new transcritical CO2 model, are available now from Westermeyer Industries. To find out more information, email sales at westermeyerin.com. That's westermeyerin.com.
Yeah, so we're going to have to go with a 52.
How many amp drive? How many did they call for?
Oh, no, it's 76.67.
You're going to go with the 80 amp drive.
80, yep, there we go.
So, yeah, you're going to go with an 80 amp drive, which ends up being like what, how many horsepower?
60.
60 horsepower. So, yeah, obviously that's not a 60 horsepower compressor, but that's why if you look at these, you don't want to look at the horsepower on the Legend, say it's a 10 horse. That doesn't mean shit when it comes to sizing a VFD. Especially on a compressor. Like, you want to look at the amp draw and make sure you're going to be okay and have that safety factor. Even though that compressor is only going to draw 47 amps, you don't want to put a 50 amp drive on that thing, because when it goes to start, it's going to get shaft stall. It's going to overamp and get shaft stall.
Don't ever go horsepower for horsepower. He said that's one of the biggest things that people mess up. That's one of the biggest things that people mess up, where they're like, oh yeah, it's a 40 horsepower, we'll throw a 40 horsepower on. He said, it really depends on like how much torque that thing's going to have. So if you're doing condenser fan motors, you have that little bit of 1.15. But if you have something like a compressor, that's where he said you're basically going to times it by 1.25. So we size the breaker for X. And then he said 1.25 times that amperage to get the VFD size. But like, some of them will say, like, what was the term he used? Like, where it's like high torque, but like you said, like I said, don't use the horsepower. Go off of the amperage and recross it back over. If you're doing condenser fan motors and you found that you had 21 amp condenser fan motors, you times it by the 1.15, you get your amps or amperage out of that. You're not just going to times it by 20 horsepower, because that might not end up being enough that you need in order to drive it. It might Correct. Be anything undersized.
And with drives, I always go one size bigger if it's in the middle. One size bigger is fine. Two size bigger is not fine. So that's one thing you want to really pay attention to. And same thing with like fans. You want to make sure like you have more starting torque on a squirrel cage or a centrifugal blower. So like you want to make sure that one is not, if it's super close, go one more size up. It's not that much more expensive on a VFD to go one more size up than it is to go replace it after it doesn't work.
Same thing with evaporative condenser, right? You might size it a little bit greater if you have Do you have a normal one belt, not that only a, like an A belt a B belt, but like one versus something that has like a four belt, right? If you have a four belt, there's a lot of torque that motor has to catch in order to get that thing rolling up. And I found that out with sizing the accel and decel rate, right? On the condenser fan motors and Danfoss's actual sheet, I think it says regular condensers or evaporative condensers are like 30 second accel rate. And we actually had to bump this one up to 45 because even at 30, it was too
blowing the shiv off.
No, it was jerking. Like it would go to turn on and then back off and then turn. It was just over amping.
Really? So you extended out
the cell and it's like it was too short. It was trying because it was so much torque on it. It was a big shaft and like I said, it had four B belts on it. So we had to slow it down a little bit to let it get that speed up.
It's interesting. It's a lot of torque. So, yeah, guys, so like we took all that information. Now, Copeland has the same information. It's a little bit easier. It's on the app. So you just pop in the compressor and go under electrical data, and you could find your run load amps. You could find all that stuff, but you could also find it. Do you have an emulator in a computer? No.
The emulator on the for the VFT?
No, for the Copeland app.
Yeah, I have the that's actually, to be honest with you, that's what I was bringing up right now.
Yeah, so we'll bring up the Copeland app. You got the performance. It's the same thing. It's just right. This is harder to use on a phone.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't have the emulator for that. But I had this. I had to kill a man for this. Okay, so what doesn't matter what compressor doesn't.
Yeah, just pick a compressor.
Any compressor, I won't look. Bam. Okay, 3D, probably total wrong one. R22, who does that? Medium temp, refrigeration, saturated suction, return gas. All right, so this is where it's going to change the amperage, and we can see this, right? So right now we have a SST of 20. So I like having a 35 degree superheat. So we're going to say that the return gas temperature is not going to delete for some odd reason. Mother of God, seriously?
It wants to be 65. Let it be 65.
Stupid. All right, whatever. All right, so blah, 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 blah. All right, so...
Calculate.
I'm getting there. All right, so... temperature, blah, 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 blah. Where's the amperage? BTU per... So I've never used this one as far as, like, doing this.
Because this compressor amp's right there, Chief. No, blow. Keep going. It's 7.74. Or no, it's 17.6.
Where are you?
Two down.
Oh, okay. Current amp. Sorry. But then you have the M. Shut up. Oh, so this is where he was getting that number, the Canadian math, remember?
Yes.
So the RLA, MCC times divided by, MCC divided by 1.156. All right. So that. See, so that's the run load amps. See, I don't know what they're like. What's the purpose of having RLA? Because you got two RLAs. So what's the purpose of having two RLAs?
So, yeah, I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
It's silly.
With the MCC, I believe the MCC amps would be your breaker sizing, right? Yeah, I'm almost.
Maximum current capacity, maybe?
So it's your maximum amps, your run load amps, and your maximum amps. So your maximum amps times whatever your, that's what that compressor is going to overload at. So your maximum amps times that would be your, how you would size your breaker.
Oh, look, now I can change it. All right, fine. Now I can do it. I was just doing it wrong. All right, so 30 degrees of superheat, that would be fitting your ears. Evaporator superheat, blah, 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 blah. Let's just say it's 8 degrees, blah, blah, blah. Okay. I just want to see what's
make much of a difference.
I just want to see what, all right, you're right.
It didn't make a difference at all. Now, if you go to, where is it at on this one?
Midpoint?
No. Performance full matrix under reports. That's going to give you your COP chart.
I think we need someone on here to describe how the COP chart goes. What do you think?
Boom. Now this, on the left-hand side, you got your saturated condensing temp, so your discharge pressure. And then on the top, you have the chart, you have your SST, so your suction pressure converted to temperature. Mm-hmm. Now, you cross these over to whatever your max is going to be. So, you say your max is at 120 if you're not in the hellhole that Tex Brett lives in the summer.
So, 160,000 BTUs here.
Yeah. So, that at a plus 20 is going to give you that many BTUs. It's going to give you your amp draw for that. So, 17.6. Mm-hmm. So, that's what you're going to use times your, if depending on who you talk to. So, that times two. If you're following what Matt said, would give you your breaker sizing,
yep,
or 1.7, which is what I've seen also, which is relatively safe. It's not that far off.
And then for VFD sizing, just the
set. So a 3D is different now. So a three-cylinder compressor has a different multiplier.
Oh, really?
There's more storing. I believe this is, I don't know this for sure, but if I'm thinking about it, I would think there's more starting torque on a 3D than a 4D.
Oh, I guess because the cylinders are all lined up and then we're...
Correct.
That makes sense, actually.
Because you're going straight and then instead of at a V, you would think there'd be less starting torque on a V than on a straight. Because
that makes total sense because,
if you pull up that sheet, pull up the Excel sheet, and you look at the compressor sizing for a 3D...
What Excel? Where?
Yeah, original Excel sheet I sent you with all the Danfoss drive.
Oh, that one. Well, I don't. You listen.
Jamie. You're doing terrible.
You're being really needy right now. Cancel. What are you doing? Can't see that. That's horrible. Hold on. Oh, look, Dorn. Look at that. James Puck.
Doreen.
No, it's not. I don't care who says that. They're wrong, and they sound silly saying it. Doreen.
Okay, go to that compressor page on the bottom.
Getting there. You're giving bad reference, Rogan.
So scroll up. Okay, so a scroll or a screw is 1.3.
Oh, yeah.
A recip three-cylinder is 1.8.
That makes sense now.
Yeah, so you're going to have a bigger drive on a 3D than you would a 4D in the same horsepower.
That makes sense, like I said, because you have your two cylinders. Either way, I'm not going to do that in public ever again. Never mind. Forget it. I just did that. That's ridiculous. I'm never doing that. I hate you, and I'm going to have to do some editing. Go ahead. Continue.
Yeah, so you're going to have a bigger drive. So just make sure when you're sizing these drives, when you're looking at this, a lot of Copeland is actually starting to list what drive goes to what compressors. Like I was looking at some newer compressors and it actually listed out the M400 drive that went with it. So like they're selling drive packages now. So like they are selling in complete drive packages. So like you can get a compressor, say it's a 4D, 4 whatever, and they already have a pre decided compressor drive with that, and it's preloaded with software, I believe. So like for that drive, it's already pre-set up for that drive. So Danfoss has their stuff. I'm a big Danfoss drive person. Like I really like their drives.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look at that. I've never seen this before. Variable
what speed. Is
this? I don't know. Variable speed interacting operating envelope. Ooh, look at that. Let's pick a single phase. Yeah, no one does that. It's 460. And
this is all scrolls.
Really?
I
see that. That's silly. It's like drive power.
This is broken.
It is broken. It doesn't work.
Pretty right sure now. You're on the old ass software. That's probably why.
I just download this. Stop it.
What, in 1997?
I hate you. All right, never mind. I even brought that shit up. No,
that doesn't work.
I got the link from a Canadian. I swear to God, it did work. Just didn't know. All right, I'm done with that now because now it's making me irritated. I'm listening.
I have a new
one. There we go. So, man, it was new. Shut up.
It's in KW. So this is giving you guys.
Told you I got it from a Canadian.
What's that?
I said I told you I got it from a Canadian.
So this is giving you at whatever RPM it's at, what its capacity is.
Mm-hmm.
So this is useful. So when I'm looking at sizing drives on a rack, like I will generally, it's hard to go about this. So you could look at your loads and try to balance it. You're usually going to have one or two loads in defrost. So I will generally subtract a load or two here or there and see which compressor makes the most sense to have running, or I will look at the compressor that runs the most.
Mm-hmm.
And I will generally choose that one. But I don't want to choose the biggest compressor, and I don't want to choose the smallest compressor. I usually try to choose one in the middle. So that way, you don't want to choose the smallest compressor, because when it's the drive's all the way down, you're not getting much turn down. You don't want to choose the biggest compressor because you're not going to get much turn down out of it. Now, this is the other thing I'm curious about. This is, we were talking with the Canadian about,
which one?
Is the unloaders.
Know a couple of them.
So why can you not run an unloader in a VFD at the same time? I've done it. It didn't vibrate. I would think it'd be some kind of vibration issue, some kind of something like that. But I'm curious of why you can't run a VFD and an unloader at the same time.
I don't know. That's a really good question. Are you subject to more harmonic imbalance if the compressor is unbalanced?
I would think so. Probably that would be my thoughts behind it. Like it would be subject to, because one side of the compressor would be loaded, not the other, and then you're slowing it down at the same time. Mm-hmm. But it would be like a match made in heaven if it worked, because like now you're able to kill some capacity and unload or take the drive down to 50%.
Well, yeah. I mean, most of now we're doing CO2 for just about everything. Right? So you have the best of both. Oh my God, I can't fucking talk. The best of both worlds. Can I just have a do over? I'm going to mulligan for that. No, because like, you're able to spin the compressor at the lowest frequency, but would it overheat? If it's suction blocking, you're already cutting down the mass flow because you're slowing that thing down to a snail's pace. Can you afford to start blocking off suction at that point?
I would think with CO2, you absolutely could. And we usually have the opposite problem. Like liquid, and you could valve liquid injection off and never look at it again 90% of the time. Yeah. It's most of the time it's you were running rich. It seems like that would be like the perfect application for it.
You got a smarter guy on here than us to try to figure that out.
Yeah, that would. That's a Copelander
Bob question. Is that a Bob question?
That's a Bob question, or the Bitzer people.
Yeah,
we need to get him on here.
Greg,
we've been saying it for a while.
I think he keeps avoiding us.
I know.
It's because of you. It's all your fault. I know exactly.
True. He likes me.
Yeah, I know what you said.
What? But as for like fans, so like the fans, like the what I've been using for fans for sizing VFDs, it's been 1.1, which is what that sheet has on it. It's been pretty close.
Okay.
So generally, it's just oversized a little bit. It's usually in the, ends up in the middle of two of them, and I end up just upsizing it. And a lot of condenser manufacturers already have drives like picked out. Crack does. You can look on their site and you can see this condenser, they recommend these three drives. Like already with a part number.
Okay.
So that's the easy way to do that. But compressors, generally, I just do that. I don't install filters on compressors. I think it's pointless.
I honestly don't know the reason. I guess it's to clean up the inlet side of the voltage. If you have
outlet. They're outlet filters.
But that doesn't make any sense because the VFD is supposed to make it nice and pretty. It's supposed to make a nice and pretty sine wave, right?
Yeah. So you can get inlet filters and you can get outlet filters too. But yeah, it's, I don't know. To me, for example, like Walmart doesn't ever put filters on anything.
Nothing.
And they run flawless. And every time I see the filters, like they cause more problems than they solve. They either explode because they get dust in them, or they get a little bit of moisture, or it sucks putting them in because they're huge most of the time, and they're a pain to wire. I don't know, but they supposedly clean up the power. But if the VFD is already cleaning up the power, what's the point?
Oh my God. Sorry.
That's a mad question. I'm sure there is a point, and I'm sure that they do help, mm-hmm. but it seems like it's more of a hassle than it's worth at some points.
Greg, if you're listening, we'll get you back on first.
You're the last one.
Yeah.
Even the Italians came on.
Yeah, they talked about their compressors and Cope. Actually, has Cope ever came on and talked about their compressors?
I don't think so.
Freaking Andre, I know you're listening while you're vacuuming, so you got to come on. I told me, it's usually that's what he says. Usually he's vacuuming when he's listening. So why are you laughing?
It's random.
Yeah, well, so was the conversation. All right. I think it does it, right? We good?
Yep, that's it. Thanks, guys.
All right, have a good night.